Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to a fresh new episode of Missing Curfew. Coming to you from the Hard Rock Up Dog in Lake Tahoe.
The Hard Rock Hotel, baby. Come on.
Fuck, we got a noise complaint our first fucking night, and we didn't even really do anything.
No, we kept it pretty classy, fellas. You know, we came in, flew in on a bird, thanks to our boy, Mr. Micah Chandy.
Micah Chandy.
If you're listening, I know you're at the Grove 23 playing with MJ, playing golf with MJ out in Florida. Thank you so much for kindly allowing us to fly in and do some quality fucking work on the road. It's nice to be on the road with you boys. Flowers, welcome.
Great. Thanks for having me again, boys. You guys are
special edition Larry Flowers. And from the East Coast, finally, Broadway Jimmy Scoops Hayes.
Oh, I was bumping Sammy Adams the whole way going coast to coast, baby. Just Boston to L.A., L.A.
Easy, you're looking good.
L.A. Yeah. to Tahoe, like, fuck.
It felt a little bit like Christmas, didn't it, coming in?
It was like Christmas Eve that day. I had the jitters going. I was all fired up. Couldn't wait to see you, boy.
It was great. I was just finishing up the power play with my boy Cooley, and Broadway was there. I came down. He's like, I just went for a walk. The beach at Ocean Boulevard's nice fucking street, isn't it, Obes? I'm like, it's pretty nice, Broadway.
Have you gone to that place, Jan's Healthy Kitchen, too? They make an unbelievable smoothie there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh. Did you get the banana date one? I used to get the banana.
That's exactly. Banana date with the peanut butter?
Yeah, that was
my go-to right there.
Yeah, it's go-to.
Did you throw a little vodka in there?
No. Still off the sauce.
Oh, you are.
Still
right.
Off the sauce. Still off.
Even with peer pressuring him, he's still on the off the sauce. I mean, I'm proud of you.
Man of his word.
Thanks, boys.
And welcome back, because you're off a nice little 10-dayer. Welcome back to the club.
Thank you.
Nice to have you. If we were here and you were not on it, if you were on that fucking 10-dayer still, I don't know if we'd be getting much.
How was that, Obes? Because I'm thinking about doing mountain.
Yeah, it was my second one. It's fuck, you know what? It's 10 days. It's painful, I'll be honest with you, but it works. I'm down 20 pounds since New Year's. The only problem is I got 25 more to go.
Is it a juice cleanse?
Tell me about it. I want to know about it.
So you do a shake in the morning, shake at night, shake in the morning, shake at lunch, and then you do a dinner no more than 700 calories.
Wow.
And then they give you these little like snack things that
are tough.
Yeah.
Where do you put those? You shove those up your hoop or what?
Fuck, you might as well.
Hey.
Just fuck. She's a one biter.
I can get through the mornings. I can get through like till 2, 3 o'clock. At 4 o'clock, I start getting hungry. Once I get home from the office, I got to pig out. I eat as many calories as I can.
Is that before or after you go on your dating app and try to get some babes over?
I do that all the time.
What app are you rocking these days?
With the Hinge.
Well, I mean, Hinge, but Bumble. You see the valuation on Bumble?
No, I'm not on Bumble.
$3-4 billion.
Is Raya still relevant?
I was never on Raya.
Flowers got denied.
I did not get denied.
You did not get accepted. It's okay.
It's like getting the blue check mark.
It's for athletes and actors, and you're neither. So you got denied.
My brother was on it. There's some hot babes.
I'll tell you one thing. So I'm on the Hinge app, and
are you killing it? You were killing it for a bit.
I'm pretty good, but I cheated. I cheated.
How do you cheat?
I'll tell you how you cheat.
Okay.
As you all know, as your listeners know, I got a new puppy, Rocky.
Oh.
So I took a picture of one of us down. And I put a picture up of Rocky, and all of a sudden, the likes started coming. And I'm like, now that's why I got this dog, right?
You're on the same.
Makes sense.
It's working.
Is it working?
Of course.
Fuck, that's
how many times a week you're getting late? How many times a week you're getting late?
I can't say that on the pod.
How many times
come
a
on,
week?
My mom listens. Come on.
I don't tell her, man.
It's like the fucking, it's like from The Wolf of Wall Street.
How many times are you jerking off?
Those are amateur numbers, guys. We got to bump those numbers.
I mean, you're the only single guy here in the group. You know, share some of the wealth.
How do you feel about being the only single guy? Sometimes, Flowers, I'll be honest. Sometimes I, you know, you pop in my mind. I love you. I care about you. And I'm like, poor Flowers. He's the only single guy. But maybe you're the smart one. Although I do love my girlfriend, but maybe you're the smart one.
I mean, I think we all technically, we want to find a great girl. And you guys have great girls, and I'm happy for you. But, I mean, Obes, you let me down a little bit. I mean, I thought we had another year with you, but
you're a real sport fucker at heart, though, aren't you? You're like a fucking catch and release type of guy.
No, but he's a fucking. This is why I got the dog too. Obes, you know this. He's a cuddler.
I am a cuddler.
I remember back in the day, we'd have, you know, when we're all single, we'd fucking mix it up, you know, have a good weekend. And the rule was Sundays, like it was the guy's day, right? No, Flowers. Like I got this broad coming over, and I'm looking over. It's supposed to be Sunday night with the boys. He's playing with her hair, cuddling her. I'm like. I'm about to puke. I'm like, this is
a little lover.
I pretend to be tough and hard.
You are a cuddler.
I like to snuggle. I like to cuddle. I like to be held. I like to curl hair, you know?
He's a real mama's boy.
So yeah, he has this move, Broadway. I don't know if you've seen it.
You've been busting my balls about it, but it works.
And he just starts playing with their hair.
In the club, right?
Yeah. And anywhere. I actually finally...
In the club you're doing that?
Everywhere.
It's very natural. It's not like a joke. I just sit there, you know, we're hanging out, we're laughing. You got a girl next to me, I like her, we're talking, she got nice hair. And, you know, then I put my arm around her or
something. No, you go right to it. You don't even go arm around her, do you? But I asked the one girl, sorry to cut you off, but I asked the one girl, do you fucking like this or what? And she was like, yeah, actually, I really do.
Wow.
Girls because she's on Molly, probably.
No, girls. Girls love to have their hair played with, man.
Flowers spiked to drink. A-Hall, you the man, baby. Look at A-Hall. Oh, my boy. Baby.
Al Hall, Max. So, just to the listeners out there, this trip got put together last minute. And it could have never happened unless the beautiful minds of us three here and our boys, A-Hall and Maximilian right here.
Amen.
Who put this together. Big thanks to our main sponsor here.
The Hard Rock
Casino in Lake Tahoe, where we're set up here. And then tomorrow we're going to do a little shout-out, a little live stream on our YouTube. Still ironing out the kinks there, but we hope everyone can tune in for that.
And tune in, chirp us a bit, give us your comments. Yeah.
Oh, I'd love a nice little chirp.
Have a couple of times.
What are the chirps you guys get the most? I'll be honest. The chirps I get about the most are, you're a little heavier than when you played. I'm like, thanks, tips. And a lot about my hair, the spiky hair. I get NSYNC. You think you're an NSYNC, O'Brien?
NSYNC?
I think you look good, buddy.
I go, boys, I only got one fucking play. The spiky
hair. Watch this.
Boof. The people love chirping me.
I did say this about like Brad Pitt or Tom Brady. Like when you can have different hairstyles, that's when you're a wheel. I got one hairstyle and that's all I got.
Yeah, but it works for you. I
wish I could do maybe the up dog flow. But
the up dog's got some healthy lettuce right now.
I just got a haircut. A little shout out to my girl Paige back home.
Where did you get your haircut?
She came right to my house. You know Paige, Christina's friend Paige, Davenport. She came by. She cuts like. She's a Hollywood hairdresser.
Is that what she does?
Paige.
She's a Hollywood hairdresser. Does everyone for
what is that,
movies,
Rania?
Awards. I made her dinner.
That's it?
Yeah.
You are a charmer. That's what I was going to talk
about. We had dinner. She came by, cut my hair. I mean, it was a big trip, right? Boys, this was Tuesday. I'm like, I need a little healthy flow. In fact, she just hit me up in the DM. Hair is looking mint.
Yeah.
So your hair was flowing. I'll give you that.
So let's talk about the ride in, boys, this experience last night. What happened when we got here last night?
It was a great flight in. Mike Cheney's bird was nice. In. We had a nice bottle of red. Yep. We only had one bottle. I thought you guys maybe would brought another one, but
I should have brought you guys a gift. That's on me.
It's
I
not fucking
had a gift
National League. I'm going to be honest. It's not National League. But and then we got here up. Like, what did we do? I can't even remember.
Well, we came in. We checked into our casino. We checked in. You know, we came down. We didn't bother with any of the cards, right? No, we just wanted to have a couple
We've
beers, get our bearings. So you know, we had a couple pints. We walked around.
We ran into these
two fucking
pigeons from Minnesota. What their fucking name were, but they were complete clowns, and we were trying to be nice to them, and then finally it got to the point where we're like, hey.
Yeah.
Someone had a vibe check. They were fucking.
There's an easy way out of here, or the hard way. Which way do you want to go?
They wanted the hard way, I think. It would have made for a better story for them back home, I think.
I actually just saw them when I was getting my skinny margarita.
Did you?
I didn't give you a head down.
I'm shocked you didn't come in here.
They're pigeons.
So we took it back to our room though too for a couple pints.
So listen, we're sitting around the table, A-Hall, me, Up Dog, Max, whoever, all the boys, Flowers, and we're just meeting of the minds. Got some tunes going.
We had MMJ. We were playing some My Morning Jacket. We're talking about the weekend.
There's a fucking knock on the door.
Yeah, we got in trouble. That's okay, though.
That wasn't much of a knock. That was more of a bang.
We had two different knocks.
Yeah.
We had security come, and then we had the neighbor.
Flowers actually did think the neighbor was really cute when she knocked on the door.
So first the security guard came and knocked. A little knock like, hey, guys, please like keep it down a little. All right, no problem. Back to our, routine.
Usual stuff.
Yeah, and then about 5 minutes later, a bang on the door, and I go and get it. I open the door, and I'm getting it full earful and earful, and you guys heard it. And she is giving it to me, cursing, you mother, blah, blah, blah. I'm looking at her. Instead of listening to what she's telling me, I'm looking at her like, fuck, you're smoking. What's your name? She was hot, hot Russian, beautiful Russian accent. I love the Russian.
How about when she sits there and she's like, you guys are all acting like a bunch of animals. And then Flower just like, hey, don't you call me my friend's animals. Starts yelling at her.
A Russian girl called me an animal. That's enough there.
Flowers draws the line at animals.
That's where I draw the line.
Bunch of animals.
She came in, knocked on the door, started yelling. I'm sitting there beside A Hall, and I'm looking at her. I'm like, you're being louder than us right now.
She was an animal.
Yeah.
You would like that, wouldn't you?
I loved her.
Yeah.
Is it the COVID times up here or what? Like,
everyone's a little on edge. You want to stay safe and stay healthy out there. You know, we wish everyone the best.
Yeah.
But let's talk about this outdoor rink we
What'd
just
What'd you think? Oh. Okay, so first of all, me and Broadway thought it looked like Mystery Alaska.
It was beautiful.
But it's
what a setup.
What a
thanks
setup.
To the talk NHL for getting us over there.
Yeah,
for
thank you.
Flick, by the way.
You know, we came in with not much expectation, but, you know, geez, we did the walk along the lake. Saw a nice 18th hole at Edgewood Golf Club where we, for the fans out there, the golf club that this rink was built on this week is where they host the Celebrity Classic, right? Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. What's it called? Is it called the
Celebrity Classic? Joe Pavelski. Is it?
JR plays on
it. Edgewood? Or
JR.
Grant Fuhrer.
Pavelski was in a playoff to win a couple years ago.
Romo beat him.
Yeah. Romo wins almost every year. Guys,
he's a stick.
So anyway, the course is built in between the 17th green and the 18th tee box, and it is beautiful. What Mystery Alaska, you can call it that. I mean, the water's coming up almost onto the boards. It's pretty special. So production-wise, NHL, you killed it. McKinnon, you look great out there in those sick new Nordique jerseys. I can't wait to see you guys buzz tomorrow out there.
Those jerseys.
We got to ask Landy about those jerseys because those were the ones you said right away with the reverse retro. You're like, these jerseys fuck.
These are fucking
These guys are going to have some sick pictures from this game, though.
Yeah.
Some of these guys might be changing their Tinder profile. Profile pic.
How good would one of these photos?
Hey,
how good would one of these photos look behind your bar back home, Jimmy?
Oh, Broadway's basement bar would be buzzing with one of these things with that big mountain in the back.
So for my Winter Classic game, there's this picture. It's actually epic because we're at Busch Stadium and fucking, I go to the net hard. And I remember fucking my boy Crispy, and you guys learn about Crispy in the next interview that we do. Crispy goes wide, throws me a pass. I'm going hard to the net, and I got Seabrook like tripping me at the same time. But I'm like, fuck it, I just leap full throttle. So I'm parallel to the ice, and I'm at the crossbar, boys. I went full tilt,
and
the picture looks like I'm putting the puck in the net, although I missed by like 6 feet.
It's like Bobby Orr style.
Yeah, my feet are above the crossbar. Crawford's like down on stack pad, and you know, someone sent me the picture after the game, and of course I'm like, fuck, this is nasty. Looks like I scored. Of course, like, so don't send around the score sheet, but I printed up all the picks and I just started fucking firing them to all my buddies, signing them. They're like getting shit in the mail. They're like, Uppy just sent me a signed photo. I'm like, I had to. Look at the fucking picture. It's great.
Christmas card.
No one loves sending signed photos without people asking more than the Uppy.
Loops texted me privately. He goes, hey, did you get one of these pictures from Uppy? I go, I did. He's like, does he think we actually want these things?
Joe DeMarco texts me. Yeah, he's like, hey, Uppy sent me this picture. Does that mean I got to put it up my house or something? Or like,
It is a sick, sick picture.
And those fucking jerseys you guys wore in those games are the best Blues jerseys.
They're one of the best
jerseys.
So this is what we're going to do. We're going to get the picture out on our Instagram. And for you fans who tag like 5 of your buddies and get us some more followers, I'm going to sign fucking a bunch of these sick pics and send them to you.
How's that? There you go. Look at that.
That's nice. That is a nice touch.
He's a fucking, he's a man of the people. He's a man of the people.
Bring it.
Always has been.
Okay, listen, so we got a little controversy at Missing Curfew. I like the Colorado Avalanche, and Jimmy Scoops and the Updog, you are leaning towards Vegas? Is that accurate? Or
I think Vegas is, I don't know, boys, big team. My boy Revo out there running around. No one's going to be able to do anything to him. Fleury, he's back in net, playing well. We're going to talk about this, but Shea Theodore has been fucking this year.
Yeah, he's back.
I don't know. I like both teams. I think both teams we had to come out of the West. So
we do.
Let's just get in some action. I'm going to be throwing some cash on the over in both games, just because I want to see some fucking goals, baby. I want to see some goals. Posted total probably six.
Probably six and a half.
Yeah.
But the other thing I like, the reason I like Vegas is because, like we were talking about the other day, is when these top end teams play each other twice in a row. It's usually they're splitting them.
It's
1-1.
It's hard to beat them back-to-back
and
nights,
with
yeah.
Colorado just beating them the other night. But Colorado's, fuck, they're adding some good players back to the lineup. So it's almost a whole new lineup they're putting
in. McCarr's back. Landy Kidd's back, who we're going to have on. Landis Cog. I'm going to Colorado, but can we bet against each other? Do you think that's going to make for a good watch party, or what the fuck do you think, boys? I'd like to cheer with you guys is my only thing.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's fun. I mean, maybe we can both bet on the over.
We can bet the over. Maybe we'll talk about
can
it.
Can we do a teaser?
Can you tease hockey?
I don't think
parlay
you can.
Cap. You can't tease hockey.
Parlay cafe. We'll get everyone fucking eating.
Oh, Brody, you and I bet these two. That'd be nice.
We could.
I'll take Colorado.
I'm in a little bit of. I gotta get some fucking.
I wonder what the ice is gonna be like.
Revo said she's a little slushy out there, didn't he?
There you go. That's where you like maybe go the.
Yeah. It was
the
a little under, sunny, right? So boys. Today,
we should go look up the history of the outdoor games and see the totals.
I feel like they're generally low.
What's the over under? Let's set this for a bunch of the fans. What's the over under you think on a guy getting kicked out of the game?
Corey Perry style.
Yeah.
What do you think the odds are in that? +500?
I would say that's not going
to
happen.
Hey, 5-1?
Hey, if there's odds there, would
fucking,
you,
we got Revo fired up. He might be going and fucking elbow something.
Hey,
head to him.
Hey, up, dog.
Text Revo, be like, Revo, take a fucking 5-minute major for the boys.
If those odds are out there, are you texting your buddy to maybe throw in a couple dough and you guys split that pot?
I think that's frowned upon.
It's definitely frowned upon.
But, yeah, I'm excited. Just being out there and seeing the boys snap it around a little bit, we were kind of made me miss it a bit. But yeah. And then they started doing drills with their stops and starts and stuff. I didn't miss that. But it's a pretty cool setting. For you two guys that played in the Winter Classic, it's pretty cool out there. I must admit, I was jealous.
Flowers, does it bring you back? Seeing all the hockey, you know, being in the NHL and all, does it bring you back? You know,
very funny. I'm shocked. I'm not done with you, though. We got some things
does
to talk
it
about.
Fucking,
bus balls?
Let's talk.
What do you want to talk about?
What do you want to talk about, buddy? This is your time. This is your platform.
Okay, so,
I mean, you paid us $500, so you know, we're going to give you
We're going to need another check, by the way.
You're our main sponsor. We appreciate you.
Yeah, we're going to need another check, though, when you get a chance.
I'm the only company that writes a check for advertising and gets no advertising. We just get to hang out.
The hat in the interview.
You are wearing the hat. It looks sharp on YouTube, by the way. That's a six.
It's got a little juicy little thumb.
He finally took his name off it, and he just left his initials on it. So it's a wearable hat now for other people.
Yeah, it looks better without the Larry Flowers.
I would have rocked it with Larry Flowers.
So. Yeah, I like Larry Flowers because people like look at it.
But this is better. This is more of a business, like building your brand.
Yeah. So
what do you want to talk about, Flowers? What do you want
to
fucking talk about?
All you listeners out there, listen to me. Let's talk about
unfortunately, they
football.
Have to listen to you right now because you're talking on our podcast.
Fantasy football.
They could fast forward.
They don't want,
you
don't
want to
Ryan O'Reilly.
You don't want to fast forward through this because you guys took a shot at me with Fact Daddy on the other day, and now it's time to speak the truth.
Well, we only took a shot at you because you owe someone $1,000.
You owe $1,000,
okay.
Bro.
Hey, who does he owe?
And that's me.
Okay.
Up you.
So here's,
which is going to go in the Mr. Curfew account, so it'll be great.
Everyone that listens to the show, you're caught up on what's going on here. Now it's my time. Here's the deal. It's the last week of the season. Uppy is ahead of me by literally like 3 points. Now, whoever wins, if we both win the last week of the season, whoever has the most points. So basically if we both win and I have 4 points more than him, I get in the playoffs.
Gotcha.
So me, Cody, watch and we see what guys put in, what players on a weekly basis. I wake up the next morning, Cody and I had talked about this the night before, like, you know, what if Fact Daddy doesn't play certain players? Because Uppy needs the win, and he needs to outpoint me big time.
Fact Daddy, you're already thinking of ways to cheat.
No.
Yeah, no. He's a cheater.
Fact Daddy
you're
has,
admitting right
Fact
now
Daddy,
that you already thought of ways
to
cheat.
Fact Daddy has Drew Brees, who's the best quarterback in fantasy football. He's got Julian Edelman.
But why not rest him?
Hold on. And he's got the Baltimore Ravens defense. Now, he played his favorite team, the Buffalo Bills. Allen, quarterback, who
stud.
He started
MVP.
Yeah, made me
player.
Like 10
great
grand.
Player. He had a horrible year that year. He played him one time.
10 grand.
One time during the regular season of fantasy football. In the last week of fantasy football, he benches him for his best starting quarterback at home. Drew Brees is at home in the dome. Instead, he plays Allen on the road in Baltimore against his own defense and then benches Julian Edelman for a receiver named Boyd, who went to Pitt, by the way, so I can't really bust his balls too much. But I don't think it's Fact Daddy.
You play
I don't blame Fact
to
Daddy.
Win the game.
Now, anybody, listen, for those people out there that know,
Uppy
likes to win.
Stop
you're a winner.
Right there.
Uppy, no. Uppy likes to win. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if it's on the golf course.
Okay, so you think it was
football.
More Uppy cheating factor?
I have, and I didn't use my.
What's
I
your source? Pull
I
it out.
I have my.
Who is it?
I have no doubt that it's not Fact Daddy. He's a good guy. He loves you, Uppy. You called him. You asked him for a favor. I woke up the next morning. I noticed he benched his whole damn team, and that's called collusion. Now. Me and Uppy.
Is this true?
This is a fact.
This is not true.
It's 100% fact. And listen to me.
I need proof.
Me and Uppy went at it.
Exactly.
I've never been in an argument. I've never been in an argument with Uppy in my life. We got in a full-on shouting match, and eventually,
this is why he hasn't paid.
And eventually,
he's a cheap fuck.
Eventually, I'm talking to Uppy, and I said this to him. I said, Uppy.
What'd you say?
I said, Uppy, you swear right now on our friendship. On our friendship.
Wow, he's going friendship.
You swear right now on our friendship.
High school style.
He had his fingers crossed.
That you didn't do that. Swear. And you didn't.
I didn't. I could swear no. I did not call
and
him.
And he didn't.
I was in Switzerland sleeping, not even paying attention. All of a sudden, I'm kicking this motherfucker's ass.
So anyway,
and then I happened to win the whole fucking thing.
Goes,
he would have not have won.
So story goes,
what is the story?
Story goes, I would have not only made the playoffs, but the breakdown fact, I would have won the whole damn thing.
Your
and then these guys were calling me trying to get my $1,000.
But you got
to
win the playoffs. You don't even know what's going to happen.
I was colluded against. It's illegal. Anybody that follows fantasy football knows.
Last place all year.
I went on a run, 5-game winning streak at the end. My team was buzzing. I had sick running backs. And then this guy comes along and jams it right on my bum.
Listen, bottom line is we had Fact Eddie on, and he's more reliable than you or whatever. So
why? Because you won the
Stanley Cup. You owe $1,000.
You won the Stanley Cup tonight.
Anyways, Flowers, we're happy you came. You're part of
Mystic
Curfew.
We love you. Thanks for coming.
We love you.
This is amazing.
You can make that $1,000 out to Mystic Curfew LLC. Please, thank you.
That's a write-off, right?
Up Dog, you got the Revo coming on. We got the captain of the fucking Colorado Avalanche coming on here, Atlantis Cog.
Sexy man. Cool.
Thanks for joining us. We're having a great time here in Tahoe. Shout out to Hall Pass Media. And just, boys, let's enjoy the weekend. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, for sure. Fans, thanks for having us.
Revo, Atlantis Cog coming at you.
Cheers, boys.
Welcome back to Missing Curfew. Up Dog, we got one of your former teammates, all-time beauty, still going.
Live and alive from Tahoe.
Yeah, introduce this beauty.
Yeah, I'd like to. Mr. 75, one of my favorite all-time line mates and teammates and buddies, a guy that I played with for 3 years, and I got to do whatever the fuck I wanted.
Yeah, no kidding.
I got to say what I wanted. I got to do what I wanted. And what a guy to have on your squad to drink beers with and to go to battle with. Ryan Reeves, thanks for joining the boys at Missing Curfew. We know you're in Tahoe. It's cold here, so thanks for coming on, buddy. We appreciate it.
Anytime. It's nice to toast you in the room, so we're good.
Yeah, you're just up the street here. We're on. We're here at the Hard Rock Casino. They have us set up shop over here. We missed curfew last night, so we got a couple noise complaints in the hotel when we got in. A
couple pee-pee slaps.
But, you're down the street. How's the experience been so far? We cruised over there for practice today, but how was it out on the sheet?
It was. It started good. The sun came out, and the ice got a little slushy. So you know me, Uppy. It's not going to be good for my hands tomorrow if that sun's out. It's going to be a lot of dump fucks and some quick changes. But it was unreal view out there. Like it brought me back to, you know, when you're younger playing the outdoor pond. Obviously, Winnipeg doesn't have the view like that, but it was fun being out there.
Buddy, I used to love snapping it around. Me and Obes love talking about snapping it around, like hard, crispy passes. And speaking of crispy, our centerman that we had, Kyle Brazia, like what a good line, what a good combo. In practices, okay, so it's slushy. I can't handle the puck, neither can Revo. So we're like, hey, Brody, crispy, don't fucking pass us the puck today, all right? You're going to do the shooting. You got to do the carrying the puck over the line. But
do you remember how he got that nickname?
No, but I'd love to hear it because I fucking forget everything.
So I can't remember where we were. I think we landed in Florida maybe, and we all went out and we started playing What Are the Odds. And so remember we had Crispy, I can't remember who it was, but said, what are the odds that every time you snap a pass tomorrow, you yell Crispy? And, you know, sure enough, he fucking loses. So all fucking practice. didn't you have to rifle pucks at Hitch all practice too?
Oh yeah. That he would like Hitch would skate around super slow in the middle of the ice, and it was like a competition. If you lost that game, it was to hit Hitch with a bunch of pucks.
But I think that was your. I think that was your loss.
That was my loss. Yeah.
Hitch all practice.
Totally. Oh fuck.
Skeeter almost had to shave his whole bucket too.
So you guys know the game? Do you guys know the game?
No, what's this game?
So, Revo, explain what are the odds. But you know you pass the ace when you all get on the
bus. Yeah, chase the ace.
So chase the ace is when, you know, to our listeners, when you get off the bird, you all jump on the bus. You know, you got a 45-minute ride into the hotel. Get a thing of cards and you pass the ace. Loser fucking – or the winner. Last guy in would win all the cash.
Yeah, chase the ace.
This is a similar thing, but it's more of like a dare game almost.
Yeah, it's more like a dare game. So I would say, what are the odds you slam that beer right now?
Fucking so pretty good.
It's from 1 to 15. So if it's, you know, if Uppy's a little bitch and doesn't like to slam beer, which, okay, so he did it for free. But okay, so let's say it's like, you know, something that you don't want to do. What's the odds you chug that ketchup bottle, let's say? So you would say it's between 1 and 15. Or sorry, 2 and 15, you got to say. If it's something you really don't want to do, you say a number closer to 15 or 15.
Oh, I know.
If it's something, no problem, like slamming that beer, you can go to two, or you can say something closer to two. So then I'll go 1, 2, 3, and on three, we both say a number between 1 and 15. If I hit the number that you were thinking of, you have to do it. If I don't, then it's just over. But if I go, if you say between 1 and 2, then that means one of us is doing it no matter what. So like as the night goes on and boys get a little more banged up, you start getting closer to two.
A little cockier.
I remember we had Bobo. We had Ells. I don't know if you were there yet. But we had Brian Elliott. We were at this restaurant, and he had to go up to this table of girls and just grab the ketchup bottle, slam a little bit of ketchup, look at the girls, be like, tomatoes. And like, the thing is, you're not allowed to say anything. Like, you can't say, hey, I'm playing a game. So it's got to be like, you just got to do it and shut the fuck up.
That's great. See, you know you're on all beauty teams when they like you do some of this shit.
Yeah, right?
That's fun shit.
That leads me into a question I got for you. We were talking before we first got on about just the quarantine. So when you guys are on the road, you can't even hang out with each other in the hotel, right? You got to go right to your room. You can't play cards. None of that stuff's going on, right?
Yeah, so like the beginning of the season, it started. We were allowed to be in the card room, but you can only have four people at a table, masks on, and you're allowed to play cards. And then I think, from what I understand, one of the teams that got shut down because they were playing cards and they had a bunch of players. Uh-huh. So then the memo came out: there's no more cards. We do have a common room in some cities, but we're in this Western Conference where all these Cali teams have the rules where you can't even be in the common room. Like in San Jose and LA, you go down and get your meal. You got to eat your meal at in your room. So yeah, it's a little different. Like, you know, I'm used to running on the road and having a couple beers with the boys, but yeah, you can't do that anymore.
And you guys have a veteran team in Vegas, but how is it for? I know you get to see at the rink, but how is it for the team chemistry and stuff? Does it affect at all? I know you guys are a veteran squad, but does it play any angles like that?
I mean, you know, we haven't had that. We haven't had a losing streak this year, which is good. But, you know, I think for teams that, you know, you go on that little losing streak, it's like, all right, boys, we got to run tonight. You know,
we have
a hungover practice or a hungover game. It's just got to happen. You can't have that anymore. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's messing with our chemistry. We're pretty tight group here. And, like, in the cities here where we can hang out in the common room, we try and get down as much as we can. But it's taken from the off ice for sure.
Yeah, Revo, I got one question. I saw you fight the kid from Anaheim the other night, and when you guys started fighting, there was a music going on. But what's it like fighting without fans? Because that's the one thing I do notice when the boys drop the gloves, how quiet it is. And from a guy who's been in a few tilts, it's awesome when the crowd gets going. It's got to be kind of weird, is it not?
It was, yeah. Like, that was my first fight with no fans. And, you know, I always say, like, when I fight, I don't hear anything. Like, I'm just so, like, focused on the fight. But I noticed that, like, more so when you drop the gloves. When you drop the gloves, all the fans stand up and there's this huge roar. And there was none of that for that fight. So, like, I did notice that a little bit.
Yeah.
Revo, how is it playing in Vegas? Like, can you talk about, like, the distractions? Is it monitored by management? Like, you guys have that – you guys kind of took that city by the balls having an unbelievable team these first 3 years. But is there a lot of distractions for the guys? Or is it a little bit easier with the COVID this year?
Well, I mean, yeah, it's really easy with COVID. But even before that, like – I'll tell you this: when you live in Vegas, the Strip loses a little bit of the allure. You know, if you go to this, it's just like any city. If you go to the same place every single weekend, it's going to get old. And so, you know, even last season, I probably went to the Strip like 3 times all season, and I'll go down there for dinner. But like, I maybe hit a club 3 times all season when like a couple of buddies came in town, or we had a couple nights off and we wanted to run. But it's, you know, and also it's not like it's a massive city. Like, people know who you are when you're going down to the Strip, and, you know, the bouncers know, and, you know, our owner has a good pulse on the city, so he would find out pretty quick. And, you know, it's one of those places where I think as management, if you start seeing a guy that's running too much in the city, it could swallow you alive. And, you know, I don't think they're going to deal with that here, so they'd probably just ship you out real quick. So I think guys are pretty – pretty tame about the Strip and, you know, all the distractions.
Hey, Revo, so I know the game's changed, but your first year in Vegas, did you guys notice teams coming in and being a little hungover, the Vegas food? Did you guys see that at all the first year? They were like, holy fuck, this whole team's hungover tonight, boys. We got this.
Unbelievable at home.
You know, so, like, I got there at the trade deadline. Yeah, that's right. And when I was in Pittsburgh still, that's all I thought. It was like, oh, you're just catching all these guys that are going there and getting shit-canned and, you know, you're just running over them because there's no way this team's actually that good. Well, I went down there with Pittsburgh, and you know, I think I, me and, you know, I'm not going to say who, but yeah, me and one other guy went out a little bit. And, man, we got shit kicked. Like, it wasn't even close. No, one guy went, we didn't go to a show. We didn't go to a club. Only a couple of guys went to dinner. We didn't do shit. And we got absolutely run out of that building. I remember we were sitting in the locker room after. It's like, oh, you know, that team's kind of legit. Like, they're fucking fast. They swarm you everywhere. And, yeah, I mean, it definitely changed my opinion of the team when we played them, for sure. But, yeah, I mean, they're definitely catching some teams on the rookie party. And, you know the second day hung. Like, the next day is not the problem. It's the second day
for sure.
Second day hung is the killer.
You're like, boys, we got shit kicked. We all should at least went out the night before. We got no excuse for this now.
Exactly. It's like, you know what? If we're gonna get shit kicked, might as well have made it a good one.
Yeah, by the way, this Golden Knight team has a really good home record, boys. We might as well just go out and get juiced up. Come to the rink prepared, but, you know, just let's do it with a little bit of that Vegas energy.
Especially if you're a team on the East. You only get one shot at Vegas. You gotta take advantage of that night.
So hey, Revo, when you got to Vegas that first year, when you got the deadline, what rallied that team together? Obviously, the stuff happened for the preseason in Vegas with the shooting. We know that, but was it just everyone that came into that team being expansive draft? What brought that team together so quickly that first year?
I wasn't there when, you know, they were kind of forming, but from everything that I've kind of learned and heard about the team before I got there was, it was just a bunch of guys that had no status on the team. Uh-huh. They were all guys that were left out of their protected list or, you know, traded there somehow. And it was all guys that were coming together because their other teams didn't want them. So nobody had a status. Nobody could come there with an ego. Everybody could be themselves because, you know, they didn't know each other. Nobody knew anybody, or, you know, maybe one or two guys knew each other. So I think that was probably a huge thing for that team was, you know, everybody could just kind of go and do their own thing and be themselves, and, you know, they can all just kind of bond through that.
Revo, so we all played for Gerard Gallant Turk in Florida together when we were there. I sat on the panel with him this year for the Trade Center Day at TSN. I thought he was the perfect coach for you guys for the expansion draft, like, you know, moving forward. He's a player's coach. You could probably attest to that. How has that transition been for you guys? Because, I mean, to him it was a shock, but he almost laughs about things where he's like, they bring me in for 2 years all the time. And I get the team, like, rocking and rolling, and then they get rid of me, and here I am. Now I'm doing TV work. But, you know, could you tell us that transition and what it's like? Peter DeBoer, obviously, his record speaks for itself. And our boy Robert Bertuzzo had him in junior, loved him. So, you know, as a guy that played the San Jose Sharks a bunch and, you know, you beat up a lot of their guys all the time. What was it like having him come in?
Well, the first day was scary as fuck for me. We played San Jose the year before in playoffs. And, I mean, I used to chirp Pete so much. Like, coming on the ice, I would stare him down. I would be screaming at him. He'd be screaming at the refs, like, why are you letting this guy chirp? And, like, so then I heard that he was coming in, and my heart, I almost had a heart attack. I was like, man, this guy is going to fucking send me to the minors the second he gets here. Like, I was so nervous, but, I mean, he came in, we talked, and, you know, I was like, hey, do we need to hug it out? He's like, no, we're good. But, so, I mean, you know, after the first day, it was, he's a great coach. He came in, and I think, you know, where we lacked a little bit in the D zone, he came in and really fixed that. And, you know, we had a good team. We just had some things that needed to tweak, and he brought a little bit of his philosophy in, and it was pretty seamless. I mean, it took like a couple days to get used to the D zone. You know, his philosophy is in the D zone, but other than that, it was pretty seamless.
Hey Revo, I got to know this guy a bit when I was in Vancouver, Scott Oak, and you always
you
always fuck around with him on Hockey Night in Canada, and it's fucking great. What's your relationship with him? Did you grow up with him or something? Or how do you know Scott Oak so well? Because I love when you fuck around with him.
So the Oak family is like my second family. They grew up two doors down from me since I was born. And so Darcy is one of my best friends. It's his son.
Okay.
And, I mean, I used to – when I was younger, I used to live in his house. He always tells a story. I would, because one thing they got a hot tub, and I would just stroll over with my robe on. I just knock on the door. I wouldn't wait for anybody to open the door. I was like, "Hey, black man, coming in for the hot tub." So yeah, I mean, that's just like a second family for me. I love everybody in that family.
Revo, yeah, I cut you off there, but the one clip where you just start rubbing his head and give him a hug.
It's fucking
I always go for his hair.
He's such a good, like, Canadian Hockey Night in Canada guy. Like, he's from Newfoundland, though, right? Like, Scott is, I believe. Part of me thinks when I sat down with him, he's like, hey, fellow Newfie, you know, anyway. I had a great chat with him one day doing that after hours in Van.
Yeah.
You were on that a couple times.
Yeah, he's a good dude. I got to know him very well in Vancouver. And you know, in Canada, the media, but he was always a good dude. But I love when Revo fucks around with him. It's great.
How's our boy Petro? Petro was St. Louis Blues, right? Bled, had his family.
He's a player, man. He's exactly what you want. I mean, he's like, you know how he is. He's a one-man breakout. He's so shifty in the corners. He's a guy that, you know, you put it in the corner, and trust me, when I got traded, I tried laying Petro out a couple times, and he's too silky in the corner. He's just too silky.
Those guys piss you off.
Yeah, and you know, he adding him to our decor, like, we have, you know, when we're all healthy, we have one of the best decors in the league. Like, you know, we were talking about Theo before. I think he's one of the best defensemen in the league. But Petro definitely added a little bit to the team.
Reba, I know the boys here at Mission Curfew would probably say you are the toughest guy in the league, and you like to throw the hands here and there. So is there any young guys right now in the league that are trying to get a shot at the champ right now?
You know, that McDermott's asked me a couple times. The way the league has gone, let's fight off the draw and nothing's happened, you know, especially right now with no fans, like, it doesn't do anything. And so that, like, he's asked me a couple times just for no reason. And I always tell him, like, hey, go run somebody or do something in the game, or, you know, let me go run somebody and come after me, and then we'll fight. But, like, I don't like the let's just fight off the draw for no reason. Like, it just doesn't do anything. The coaches don't think it does anything. So it's pointless.
Yeah, it's not game one or two, right? It's not like you're down 2-0 in a playoff series and you got to turn the momentum around. So, right now in game, you know, 15, 16, I agree. Save the hands for the fucking stick handling, baby.
And I don't get a lot now, so when I do fight, they're getting, and I'm getting old too, so, like, the hands, they cramp up a little bit now.
Hey, Revo, I remember when you came in the league, and listen, you came in as a buzzsaw, but was there any guy, we had Big Earn on a couple weeks ago, and he talked about fighting Ty Domi. Was there one guy you wanted to, like, I got to fight this guy, or a guy you were maybe a little bit intimidated when you first got in the show, or were you just like, bring it on, I'll fight anyone?
I mean, that's funny you say Big Earn, because that was, like, that guy used to scare me. Yeah. He used to be, like, scary. So the thing that a lot of people don't know about me is I was never really an actual fighter. I only had a couple fights in junior. I came into the AHL, and, you know, I was told you have to start fighting, so I started fighting. And then, I learned I was kind of tough in the AHL, but I never, you know, I didn't fight a ton of, like, super heavyweights, and there were some back then, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I came to the NHL, and yeah, okay, now I know I'm a little tough, but now there's, like, you know, you have the toughest of the tough here, because that, you know, that was still kind of that day where you had the McIntyres and the Big Earn and, you know, all those guys. And so I remember, Peros, the very first game, he asked me to fight my very first shift. I was like, yo, let me get a shift in quick here. And then I ended up fighting Chip Cheer, and my tie down comes off, and I get kicked out of the game. So I didn't have to fight him there. But, you know, as I progressed, you know, I fought like Kyle Clifford.
Yeah.
I knocked him out, and then I started thinking, okay, maybe I'm a little tougher than I think. But then I fought Big Earn, and I wasn't looking for it, but we were down 2-0 in the game early. And I was like, okay, this is, you know, I gotta fight him. Like, this is my job. And I remember, like, I'm not saying I won the fight, because, like, man, I got to the penalty box. I had, like, three, four golf balls on my forehead. I couldn't move my neck. But I just remember, like, I looked over at him, and he was leaking over his eyebrow. And he kind of looked at me like, who the fuck is this? Because I remember he was laughing during the fight. He, like, went to, like, bluff me, and I jumped back, and he started laughing. And I was like, you motherfucker, you're that cocky, huh?
He was so that cocky.
I caught him a couple hard, like, over his eyebrow. And I remember, I don't think he played for a couple weeks after that. I think I conkied him. But he was, like, who I was scared to fight, because he was Nashville. We played him a ton. And he's also who, when I fought him, I realized I was a little tougher than I thought.
That's a great story.
Hey, Revo, the one thing I love about your game, bro, is you can forecheck and you hunt pucks. with the rules now in the game now, do you find it hard some nights to play that way still? Like, I just feel when I watch these games now, like, it's hard to play physical. Do you find that, or you still can do it within your ways?
No, I mean, you just can't jump. You can't hit high, and I've never – I think the way I hit, I kind of hit like a football player. You know, I tend to hit square on a lot. I bend my knees. I come through with my hands a lot. So, you know, I don't think it really changes. Like, I've never been a guy that really jumps. I don't find that helps when you hit. You just gotta, you know, you just gotta do it clean. And I got a pretty good rep with the refs. They know I play clean. I've had refs come up to me and like, hey, thanks for not laying them out there from behind. And so I think that kind of helps too. If there's one that may be a little bit on edge, but I mean, the rules don't change for me. Still trying to kill.
Yeah.
Hey, Revo. I just thought of this for a second. Obi always laughs when I think of random shit. But so obviously the league's super young, right? Tons of young players coming in. Probably looking around the room, seeing like big guy, like, you know, looking up to you, Pacioretty, like older guys on your team. When you were a younger player in St. Louis, a couple guys played a prank on you when you were like in your first training camp when you fell asleep in the fucking tell this story.
Big Walt. So
Big Walt.
I was hurt my first training camp, and Walt comes off after his skate, and he's like, hey kid, come over here. They had this like water massage bed, and it was like one of those you lay down, it shoots the hot water up, and you know what I mean, the ones that you see at the fucking mall sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, hey kid, come over here, try this thing out. And I was like, well, what the fuck? Like, why is he telling me to go on a massage bed? But like, what am I going to say? No, no Big Walt? Like, no, you're a fucking legend. Yeah, no problem. I'll fucking pull up a pillow. So I lay down. He sets this thing for 30 minutes. And so I lay down, and this thing's so relaxing. I fall asleep. I mean, like, I'm out cold, like drool coming down my fucking face. And it must have been probably 10 minutes into it. I think it was Bryce Salvador, maybe. Somebody comes in and slams the bed. No fucking sleeping in the locker room. Wake up, wipe the drool off my face. I look over. There's the GM. He goes, who's that kid? Ray Borelli. Ray Borelli goes, it's Ryan Reese. He's a young kid. He's like, oh, okay. I was like, oh, shit. 20 minutes later, sent back down to the AHL. Like, it wasn't even 20 minutes. Like, it was a tough – I had a tough first training camp. Like, I did that. I went down, like, I never used to train back in the day. Like, I was playing in a beer league when I came into my first training camp. I didn't have, like, a skating coach. And so I came down to the AHL, and because I just came off injury, I'm getting bag skated by Painter. And we're doing this drill. It's like five shots, go to the blue line, come back, five shots, go to the red line, come back, five shots. And I was supposed to do it five times. I did it twice, and I just take a knee. He's like, all right, Rebo, time to go. I was like, Painter, I can't. He's like, Revo, get up, time to go. I was like, it's my first training camp ever. I was like, Painter, I can't. Okay. He skates off the ice. I get off. I'm not even undressed. And they want to see you in the office. Hey, Revo, we're going to send you down to Alaska.
Alaska.
And so, like, the way everything went for me in my first training camp, in my head, I was like, I'm buried in the coast of the year. No problem. Like, 100%, there's no way I'm making it back here. So I ended up packing my whole truck up, and I drove up to Canada, all the way through, back down to Seattle, shipped my truck to Alaska, and I was like, okay, well, I'm going to post up here. I was there for training camp and three games, and a guy in Peoria missed practice because he was drunk all night, and they called me back up. So I had to leave my truck and all my shit in Alaska. And I was sitting with like one suitcase when I got there for probably 3 months.
Hey, see, that's the shit.
That's how you grind.
No, but that's the shit, Revo. People, fans don't realize, right? Yeah, like, they see grind like that, but that's fucking, like, shit like that's crazy.
Yeah. That's, hey, kid, you're going to Alaska. Imagine if they told a young kid that now, they'd be like, what?
crying.
Cry your mom. Yeah, fuck. Anyway.
Revo, you always find a way to get under a guy's skins, and one guy in particular is Evander Kane. How did this whole feud start, and where does it stand today?
Where does it stand today?
Yeah. What are you guys still going at it here and there? You guys going to play each other?
Yeah. I mean, I don't like the guy. Like, look, it started when I was in St. Louis, and we'd play Buffalo all the time. Or we'd play Buffalo once a year, and he would just always – he'd run around, and, you know, I was running around, and, you know, we'd come together sometimes. And I'd always say, okay, fuck, let's go then. And he wouldn't he would never fight me. And this went on for years and years, but he'd always act so tough, and he'd all, you know, oh, I would kill you. He'd be chirping me from the bench. I would kill you. You don't even want to fight me. He's like, okay, well, let's go then. And he still wouldn't fight. And then he said one time in the media, he said, he asked me to go in Buffalo. He asked me to fight, and I said no. I was like, well, bullshit.
Yeah.
My athlete said no. And so it just like, you know, I have no problem with guys playing hard and chirping. You know what I mean? But if you're going to say you're going to beat me up, then back it up and fight me. And whether you beat me up or not, you know, I'll show you respect then. But it took me, what, 9-10 years to get a fight from him? You know, and look, it's not like the guy's, you know, an upstanding citizen.
What yeah. you know well, I mean? Well said, well said. I think the guy's a fucking clown, too.
He pulled the same antics with Kevin Miller. He did the same shit. He was sitting there and say he was going to try to fight him. Kevin Miller, he'd fight anybody. He's a tough kid. He's a customer, too. That might be a nice little tilt for you to get going, but I don't know. I'm not going to set that one.
Is he back? Is he back playing?
Yeah, he's back. He got back this year, but he's tough. But back to the Kane. He did the same shit. They're chirping. Kevin Miller's like, let's go. And then goes into the media after the game. Like, he doesn't want to fight. I mean, Miller was fucking just waiting weeks to get this kid.
I just can't respect a guy that does shit like that. And so to your second question, where does it stand today? I still don't like the guy. Yeah. I still want to kill him. Like, it's just, I don't think that's ever going to change. You know, I always say there's some guys that, you know, like Tom Wilson. Me and him have had a feud on the ice, you know, since the playoffs. But I always say, I bet you if I saw him outside of hockey, I'd sit down and have a beer, and I bet you we'd be friends.
Yeah.
I don't think me and Kane can ever be friends.
Revo, your boy Flowers here.
Flowers.
Coming from a few guys here who like a good quality pint. Tell us a little bit about 75 Brewery. It's that's exciting.
75 Brewing. 75 Brewing is, we started it two and a half years ago now. We launched our first one two Decembers ago. And, it's been fun. It was like an idea. So after my first year in Vegas, I re-signed, and I was sitting in my living room with my girl, and my brother had been telling me, do something with Grim Reaver, like do a clothing line, do beer, whatever it is, do something. And he'd been pestering me for like a year, and I was just sitting there. I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to start a beer company. And like, I don't know the first thing about starting a beer company, but my buddy back home, he used to work for Labatt. So I flew down to Vegas. I flew him down there. He's like, hey, come for a couple meetings with me. And I wasn't going to ask him to come on board with me because he had his own company. He was starting up in Canada. But when he left, he landed in Calgary, I think at the time, or Toronto. And I landed in Winnipeg. He called me right away. He's like, hey, you know, I kind of want to come on board here. This looks like we could do something here. And that was in August, and by December we had our first beer out in cans, in tap. And right now we got a lager, a golden ale, a stout, and a IPA, all in cans and draft. And then we have a blonde ale that's in cans and draft only with MGM, so it's exclusive to MGM properties. It's gonna be in the pool parties this summer.
Wow.
So yeah, we're buzzing. We're talking about making our fifth beer pretty soon here.
That's great.
You might have to show up to those pool parties. Hey, you're gonna have to show up to those pool parties, hand deliver these new blondies.
Every venue that has the beer, I gotta go show some kind of love, right? So, you know, I'm going to throw a party and be like, hey, thank you so much for having my beer. Let me show up for it. You know?
Hey, Revo, on the birds all the time, like on our plane after the games, you and I would be the only guys that we'd have our Stewies, who were awesome at the time in St. Louis. We had great girls. We'd be like, hey, we need IPAs. All these guys like to drink Bud Lights. And
I know.
I'm like, we need some IPAs. And the boys are always like, hey, that Revo, like, he can crush beer, but how does he stay so, like,
jacked?
How does he stay so jacked? I'm like, I don't know. You got to ask him.
I don't know if I can tell that joke right now.
I'm like, you got to ask him. I don't know. Maybe he just doesn't eat. He's on this IPA diet. It works.
So you know what, though? For me and you only drinking IPAs, how many guys drink IPAs now?
Tons.
By the end of that season, we had half the team drinking them.
I agree, because you don't need to drink 12. You're just a beer drink drinker. 4 or 5, and you're feeling.
If you can drink IPA, you're a beer drinker.
Yeah, 100%.
You're a beer
drinker. Or Guinness.
Yeah,
which Guinness. Is a new stout you guys got coming out, right?
We just launched a stout. It's really good. It's my favorite one.
Wow,
nice. It's breakfast.
It's like
breakfast.
Reaver.
Sweet.
Yes. So Revo, I'm a Philly guy. I'm obviously a big Flyers fan growing up, and they're for what Philly fans are used to. seeing. They're a little soft, in my opinion. And I've always said for years, I would love a guy like Revo to be on the Flyers. Like, just keeping other teams honest, especially when it matters most in the playoffs. But I love watching Uppy play, right? I watched St. Louis games when he was there, and you guys were there together playing on the same line. And I like busting his balls, but you're not tough, but man, were you tough?
I will fuck you up right here.
You're not tough, but he would be so tough out there when you.
I had the second and third toughest guys in the league.
100%. You always have. It's a great role. I'm telling you, it's a great role. And then if you put a couple biscuits in it, fuck, it's all good.
I love watching you play off you, just being who you are, and just
go full up, dog.
Always looking over your shoulder.
The best thing about playing two with Revo is, and we had Hitch as our coach, right? No matter what we did out there, we always fucking tried hard, right? We were always like, if we were,
you guys had a great,
if we fucked
line.
Shit up, Revo,
great fourth line.
We would back check hard, and we would try to kill guys, and we would try to not take penalties. I would take a lot, but but Hitch, we'd turn around. If Hitch was giving it to us, we'd be like, fuck you, Hitch. All right, we're trying. We're fucking trying out here.
That was the best thing about Hitch, is like he was the guy who talked shit to, like, to the point where it's like, man, you just got to shut up. Please just shut up. But if you gave it back to him, he loved it.
He loved
it. I remember, I don't know if you were there or not. It was the, Yosi was the assistant. So you were there.
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah,
I was there.
Been there. Yeah. So we come off from a shift, and I think I turned it over, and they had a couple scoring chances, and I sit down. So I'm all the way at the very end on the left side, and Hitch is just fucking screaming. Rebo, you gotta get the fucking puck out! Like, yeah, I know. I'm honest with myself, up, so like I'll say, yeah, okay, my bad.
But he kept
cheek right a little, Now I'm sitting again. Rebo, fuck me! You gotta get the fuck out! Like, yeah, I heard you. I know. I'm sorry. My bad. Cheek right one more time. Now he's right in front of me. Rebo, did you hear? And I remember, I just, like, it's the only time I've really snapped. I turned around and I grabbed him by the tie. I was like, you don't shut your fucking mouth. I'm going to strangle you with this fucking tie. And the anger in my face when I said it was real. And then I said it the same way. I was like, oh, shit. Like, I was a little nervous. So, like, I didn't know what was going to happen. So, like, the next day we get to practice and Yosi comes up to me. He's like, hey. You probably can't say that to a coach and grab his pilot. Like, yeah, you're right. He's like, you should probably go apologize. Yeah, you're right. So I go into Hitch's office. Hey, Hitch, you know, my bad. I didn't mean to grab your tie and say that. He's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Don't worry about it.
That's exactly right. And I was there. Me and Brody were like, we were dying.
That's going to be the best Hitch hockey.
Oh, should we might need a new line?
You did a great Hitch, fuck. That's good.
No,
that's
yeah,
the best
that's
one.
A good Hitch. Otter does a good one, too. I mean,
yeah, he does.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah. Your fourth line, though, that you guys in St. Louis, that, you were huge for that squad. Like, you guys would change momentum of games. I watched you guys in the playoffs. I'm like, you were an important piece of that squad, that fourth
100%.
Line.
Yeah, 100%. We had Otter, too, and Otter fucking ripped his hamstring right off the bone the one year. So he missed that probably 5 months. So it was it became you, me, Brody, solidified. We just, you know, Hitch brought us in, and Hitch would just say, you guys are my only line that I do not want to worry about. You guys know your fucking role. I don't want to ever have a meeting with you guys. So if you play bad, figure it out yourselves. go have a line meeting yourself.
I'm not dealing with you guys. Yeah. Like, you guys figure it out.
And that was kind of cool.
That's
that was like
a compliment.
It was
a
respect factor.
Yeah.
I mean, Hitch knew each of us personally and as players, and he that's why I love Hitch. I love talking about Hitch. We got to have Hitch on this fucking podcast. He'd be hilarious.
You have to.
You've
got
to
have
him. I know. He would be great, and he would love to come on. But, you know, you look back at some of your coaches, and, you know, everyone kind of knacks Hitch for maybe just the way he chirps or looks or how he skates on the ice. But he's fucking – he was a great coach. Very methodical, historian, right? Like, you ever sit with him having coffee with him, he'll just start ripping, like – old war stories and shit. He's cool.
Well, fuck, where did we go that one year? Before, you know, like, we'd always take a little trip before the season. Where
Ann Arbor?
Did we go? Because there was, like, Ann Arbor, because they had that war museum or something. Yeah. We go down there just so we could go to that fucking museum.
We had our rookie party in Ann Arbor that year.
Where'd
you
go?
We went to, we had dinner, and then we went to some fucking, like, college bar. And I remember Jim Bollmeister came up. Jim Bollmeister.
Hey, Revo, well, that's the best nickname I've ever fucking heard. When Uppy told me that, I was fucking dying.
Oh, yeah. Jimbo?
Yeah, he's Jay Bollmeister, but when he had a few beers in him and the glasses went on and the hair started going around, he turned into Jim.
Man, yeah. He was just like, he would just sit there and watch people. Yeah. And then he'd do like something really weird one time and then he'd just start watching. He had those big eyes where he just like,
yeah,
just stared at him and he just crushed beers.
Because he doesn't say much sober, right? But if you get a couple enemy talks, right, from what I've heard, or is he a pretty quiet guy?
He's still pretty quiet, but he's just like, he's like a little more involved in what's going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
he's
the best.
Told me that nickname, I mean, fucking laugh.
I've known him since we were kids, and thank you know his ending of his career is sad but great. Stanley Cup, he's healthy. So anyway, shout out to our boy Jay, who I know listens to the pod. But
great.
Revo, we know you got a busy day. You're here in Tahoe. You guys play tomorrow at noon. We're gonna watch and do a live show here at the Hard Rock. But what do you got going on for the rest of the day? What are you guys up to?
I got an interview with Bridgestone. They donated $100,000 to I'm building a ball hockey rink / kind of outdoor park for kids in like a low income area
In Vegas.
Awesome. Yeah.
Beautiful.
It's gonna be good. It's like just a place where kids can come and learn the sport of hockey. You know, let's be honest, the area we're building it in is not a white area, so kids don't really get exposed to the sport out there. So gonna get some equipment donated to it, and just a safe place for kids to learn the sport. And hopefully we're gonna start a couple more programs out there, really bring the community in there. We're gonna do some stuff with the police force down there too, so it's gonna be good. It's gonna be a good project for the city.
Awesome.
Maybe we'll do a charity game there someday.
Yeah, we're going to come to Vegas. Missing curfew is going on the road when things open up, and Vegas is at one of our number one stops. So
we're stopping at MGM and getting some of that 75.
Definitely.
I think it's at the pool party. You know what? I'll come with you guys.
Yeah. That's a good idea, Revo.
We need you to get in.
Revo, I want to ask you before we let you go, brother, just about, we talked about him, Shea Theodore. I play with Theo, his first year pro in San Diego. He's an unbelievable kid, great player. Just touch on Theo real quick, what he brings to your squad.
I mean, I think he's a top five defenseman in the league, to be honest with you. Like, and people can argue that, but when you see the stuff he does on the ice, he's just unbelievable. He's so silky at the blue line. He's got so much confidence with the puck. You saw it in the playoffs last year. How many times he pump fake guys and went around him and went and buried? Like, he was unbelievable. He's like a really skilled forward that can play D, and he's a huge asset to this team.
Kind of like you, Oscar. Yeah.
and just a great kid, eh? Revo, he's a good kid.
Unbelievable kid.
Yeah.
Unbelievable kid.
Hey, Revo, I got to ask you before we let you go. What are the feeling on the gold buckets, fella? You guys are 0-2 with the gold buckets. Do you like them? What's going on? I don't know, fella. What do you think? You don't have to answer if you don't. You don't have to answer if you don't want to.
You know what? I'll
don't
say
put
this.
You on the spot.
I think they might look better with the white jerseys. I would like to give them a go with that. They're a little shiny.
I agree. Revo, we really appreciate this fella. Uppy has nothing but great things to say about you. I played against you, battle against you. You're a dying breed, fella. Keep it going. We love watching you, and we're always pulling for Vegas. So thanks, my man.
Appreciate it, boys.
Go pop one tomorrow for the boys.
Yeah, get one
tomorrow
for the boys.
I'm well over.
You're due, baby. All right, pal. Okay, thanks for coming,
see you,
pal.
Thank you, fella.
See ya.
Welcome back to Missing Curfew. Up dog, we got one of the good-looking Swedish guys that was a rookie, which is making me feel a little bit older.
I know. You've always spoke very
this
highly
kid,
of this handsome devil.
Man, when
not
I met
that
this
you had
kid.
To. Not that you had to, but you always said, Gabriel Landeskog is a fucking legend.
Yeah.
From day one. And you had him as a young kid, so he must have learned a lot from
Landy, thanks for showing up, buddy. We appreciate it. Look at that hair and smile. You're looking good, kid. Quarantine's got nothing on you.
Thanks for having me on, boys.
Yeah. Hey, listen, buddy. Now that I see you out there today, I saw you come out with the 92 on. And listen, the one thing I was a little upset about is you had your bucket on. I wanted you to come out there. I know it's practice, but did it put one party? I want to be like, I got to get this bucket off, because it was a pretty cool setting for you guys today.
Yeah, it was. And you know what? There's, I was a little young at the time. And I actually remember, what was that? You were there 11, 12, 12, 13. And I remember my second year, I was coming up on like 100, 120 games, and I was talking to Obi. I'm like, I'd always see Obi out there without his bucky on, and he's like, you know what? You get an exception. Take your helmet off. Obi was the one to talk me into taking my bucket off, and I'm very thankful for it to this day. It's a good part of the game to be out there with the flow going.
I'm like, listen, you're one of our best players. You're an absolute beauty, and you're fucking good looking. Take that bucket off. Yeah. You might save us a little escrow money here. Landy, do you remember the rookie party we threw for in L.A. that year? Because, I mean, we used to talk about it a lot. Do you remember that rookie party we threw together at the Roosevelt? Do you remember that, buddy?
Yeah, man, that was, yeah, I mean, I, from the parts that I do remember, it was, because we just played a game,
yeah,
and we went to the Roosevelt, and it was like a 35-minute dinner, and I think I mean, you and Dan Winnick were sliding, and Big Sexy were sliding me these shots of J-Mo, and I'm not a huge whiskey drinker or whatever, and I didn't have much of an option, and I remember sitting right next to some of the trainers. I'm like, what am I going to do? How am I going to survive this? Because I was getting hammered just after game. I hadn't eaten anything, and they're like, just eat whatever you can. Eat whatever you can, the bread, the asparagus, whatever. And we hadn't even left the restaurant. It was like half an hour later. I was up in the bathroom just puking my brains out, but we ended up going to the bar, and we had a great night. And I shouldn't share all the stories from that night, but yeah. It was a good
I just remember that year, like, you came in, obviously, second overall pick, and our team was supposed to be shitty, and you were a big part of it at that age, and I knew you were going to be captain. I mean, I didn't think you were going to be captain their second year in the fucking league, but I knew, I'm like, this guy's, but just your rookie year, like, how we came together as a team in Denver, and we kind of overachieved, we ended up missing the playoffs, but was it as fun for you as it was for me that year? And I know O'Reilly still thinks that way, and Jamie McGinn and those boys, it was a good year for us.
It really was, and it was... You know, I didn't have much. I didn't know what to expect coming in my rookie year, and I was just kind of, you know, you're a young guy. You're just kind of happy to be there and trying to establish yourself and whatever. And all of a sudden, you know, January, February rolls around, and we're kind of in the hunt. And I remember we went out east for a big road trip, and I think we almost swept the road trip, and we really were chasing down that playoff spot. And like you said, that comes from just having a blast inside that room. And everybody just pulling together and learned a lot.
You're cutting out on us, fella. You got us? Okay, there you go.
The hair still looks good.
Can you just say that again, Landy? You're kind of cut out. Sorry.
The heart.
Okay, sorry. Can you just say that again real quick?
Are you good? The Harvey's Wi-Fi isn't...
It's not National League, is it?
Let's pick up at McDonald's.
Yeah, I mean, I remember my...
Sorry, yeah. Go ahead, fella.
Can
go,
you guys hear me?
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry about that. Go.
No, I remember, you know, coming into the NHL, you don't really know what to expect, and you come in and you're just trying to establish yourself and really just find your footing in the league among all these men. And all of a sudden, you know, you're in this whirlwind of your rookie year, and January, February rolls around, and you're hunting down a playoff spot. And I remember we're just having a blast and kind of that underdog feeling. Nobody was counting us to be any good. And we were, you know, you were new that year, Obi. We had a bunch of guys come in as well as some of the veteran guys, as Stastny and Hey Duke, and some of these guys have been there for a while. But we had a blast, ended up coming up short. But a lot of great, you know, friendships and memories from that season, no doubt. Learned a lot.
Hey, Landy, I mean, there was tons of things I loved about playing with you, and I knew you were going to be the player you are, but your physicality, bro. You know, you played in the Ontario League, but as a Swedish guy, when did you have that in your game? Like, because when you came in the league as a rookie, I remember you're talking to me about fighting. I'm like, yo, Landy, listen, bro, you don't have to fight, bro. Like, but what
do that for
was it natural for you, or because you still play with that chip on your shoulder, and I love it?
Yeah, I mean, growing up, once we were allowed to start hitting, I just loved hitting. I mean, I loved it. I loved playing that physical style of game. And I think, and then when I made it, I got to play with the men's team in Sweden before I moved over to the OHL and played for a few games. And I played up for a couple of years. And I was never the most skilled, and I was never the fastest guy. But, you know, for me, it was about, you know, just kind of playing that physical game. And I think why I wanted to move to the OHL is because I wanted to develop and I wanted to play with the puck, because back home I was just kind of running around and being a bit of a meat. So I wanted to develop that side of my game at the same time, never really lose the physical aspect of it. And, you know, I always looked at guys like Jerome McGinley, Mike Richards when I got a little older, you know, Dustin Brown had, you know, some amazing years. It was fun to watch. You know, those are kind of guys that I really enjoyed watching. Ryan Kesler was the same when he was in his prime. Really enjoyed watching those guys and try to really play the way they did.
Yeah, Landy, I'll jump in. I had a chance to play with Richie, Mike Richards, when he got the captaincy. So he was third, fourth year in the league, really made a name for himself, winning championships with like the Memorial Cup. He went on and won a Calder Cup. You could tell it was kind of in his, it was like in his blood to be a true born leader. When I look at you, I see a lot of him, and I also see a lot of like Alex Steen, who I don't know if you know Steiner well from international hockey with him, but the things he brings to the rink, and Obi's talked a lot about you, he loves you, he speaks highly of you all the time, but like the things, taking care of guys, taking care of like families on your team, you know, we speak a lot about Steiner, but the way he played hard. You play hard. He wins battles in front of the net. He goes to the front of the net. He wins battles in the corner. When you were a kid, you know, did you learn like a North American style of game? Because I always said Peter Forsberg was my favorite player growing up as a Canadian, and a lot of guys would be like, oh, he likes to play like a Swede, but like a Swede. But fucking Foppa was a fucking legend, and he played hard, and he was tough. And that's kind of what you bring to the table, and your team feeds off that energy that you bring. So can you kind of share, like, growing up, like, what that was like to say, I got to play this way to be effective? Like, that's kind of the way I grew up playing the game too.
Yeah, I mean, you said it there. I mean, Peter Forsberg was the guy that I had. I had posters of him in my room growing up. And he, obviously, naturally, me being from Sweden, that was a guy that, you know, he was the biggest one we had, him, Matt Sundin, and Lidstrom probably, but Forsberg, I mean, it was definitely somebody I looked up to. And for me, you know, I was never the most skilled, I was never the fastest or whatever, but I tried to be as good as I possibly could at everything, be very, you know, had a big range of things, and at least be pretty good at most things. And I think that's still, to this day, probably one of my strengths. I mean, I like to play physical, I like to contribute in every way I can, but I won't have the speed or the hands that McKinnon's got. So,
who does?
Not many do.
So, speaking of leadership, you got a young kid on your back end, Bo Byram, and we always fuck up his name, but we love this kid.
I've been fucking his name up for a month. I was calling him Bowen. Fuck, it's fucking Bowden.
No, Bowen. So we love
Bowen. Him. Bowen.
And he just, you know, he is his first year in the league. He's got 10 games under his belt. He's, you know, coming off a World Junior Championship that was. For me, watching him control the play up there was amazing. And to see him come in and get his footing in the NHL, do you see any, like, does anything stand out to a young kid like that? Like, playing with, obviously, Makar now, learning from him. But is he like a sponge? He was a leader in, you know, on his team at World Juniors. What do you see in this kid?
Yeah, I mean, he's really impressed me. I thought, you know, you never know with the World Juniors, and you never know how that's going to translate. But I mean, he came in and he's just taking stride after stride, and he's been poised. I mean, we played in Anaheim, I think it was his first or second game, and all of a sudden he was coming down the wall and had Getze on him, and he just kind of shook him and walked right around him. You know, you need some swagger to be able to do that at the NHL level, and even defensively, he's breaking up plays, and he's so poised with the puck. You can tell he's definitely playing with some confidence. And I think maybe he's, you know, he looked at Makar a little bit when Cale came in a few years ago and said, why have to dip your foot in the water when you can just kind of jump right in and do what you do and trust yourself. So he's been a blast to watch. And honestly, with the guys like that, there's not much you have to teach. Like, I'm not going to teach him anything.
Totally,
if anything, it's just about, you know, making sure that they're a part of the team and you know, you're giving them the gears to make sure they're comfortable and boys are chirping everybody, which is, you know, it's like when I was a young guy and Obes was one of the veterans, you know, if you're not, I remember the guys were saying, like, if you're not getting chirped, your boys don't like you. So I always enjoyed it when the boys were giving it to you. And I think it's the same with these guys. They're really good kids. And, you know, they're all of a sudden they're, you know, they're a big part of our team. Big part of our back end, no doubt.
I wanted to ask you about you got named captain at such a young age. How was handling that responsibility, dealing with older guys? Like, you're a teenage kid, and you got to come in and deal with guys like O'Brien. And then were there any veterans on that team that kind of helped you learn how to be the captain and the player and person you are today?
Yeah, you know what? Looking back at it, you know, obviously he was very excited and a huge honor to be given the C at such an early age. But looking back at it, I think it might have been a couple or a few years too early, too soon. I hadn't even developed, you know, into the player that I wanted to be. I hadn't really gotten my own footing in the NHL. And here I was going into my second year trying to hold players-only meetings and you know, shit like that. Like, I had to kind of get comfortable with who I was in the room, get comfortable with what kind of player I was. Milan Hajduk was around my first couple of years and you know, learned some things from him and Stastny and even the older guys like Obi and all these guys. I remember them always telling me that, like, you were named captain for who you are and don't change. Like, don't try to be somebody else. And I think that's one thing that stuck with me. And sometimes you have to have some conversations and players only meetings. I've never really enjoyed those. It's kind of, you always do them when things are going bad, so you never enjoy doing that and have to tell guys certain things. But for the most part, I just try to be myself and try to learn, really. Still try to be open-minded and pick up things here and there. But I was young and very, very green back then, no doubt.
Yeah, and you did a great job, and we were all excited for you. But I looking back, I was like, man, it was good for Landy, but at the same time, it put a lot of pressure on you at such a young age. And I remember you were kind of dealing with, like, oh, so I got to change. I'm like, Landy, just be you, bro. And you've turned into an unbelievable leader. And I want to ask you about a guy, Landy, that I thought was a huge pickup for you, Nazem Kadri. He brings some grit to your team. He's good up the middle. What has he brought to the Colorado Avalanche? Because I think he's a big piece of your club, and I'm a huge fan of your team.
Yeah. No, just like you said, I mean, I think that's what we needed. That's what we needed, a little bit more sandpaper and that grit and a guy that can chip in offensively. And obviously, you look at the Nazis play in the bubble. I mean, he was one of our best players. I think he had 5 or 6 game winners. And I remember playing against Naz in the OHL, and he was a high skill guy and didn't really, you know, he had some grit to him, but not the way he does now. I mean, now I love playing with Naz. We have a lot of fun in the off season playing some golf. He's got a bit of a power fade going that he's got to work through right now, but he's a good dude, real good addition to our locker room, no doubt. He's been awesome.
Where do you tee it up in Denver? Because I've played Cherry Hills. I've played. Yep. Where did we?
Cherry Hills. That's a sick track. I never even played
Cherry Hills is the private track. Yeah. Sick 18th hole. It's like the whole fucking fairway slanted right. I remember I went out there with a couple members and ended up eagling on the 18th. I must have took $500 or $600 off this member, and he fucking left without paying. And then
you didn't get invited.
No, so Thorny, I'm playing with Sean Thornton, and Thorny's like, I don't know if we got to call the guy out or what. I'm like, we'll just, fuck, we brought us to the nice track. But are you? Is it Cherry Creek, the other one where all the boys are members at? Staz took me out there with Bozy and a couple guys a few years ago.
Yep.
A couple nice tracks in and around Denver.
I'm out of Cherry Creek. Same spot as Stas and Bozy and Johnny Lyles used to be there, John, as well.
Nice.
So mostly there, pretty close to my house. But you go up in the front range and you know, some of those tracks up in the mountain. It's up in Vail. There's some beautiful courses. Sanctuary's a track in just south of Denver that they only got two members. It's the owner and his wife. And you know, they only do charity tournaments, and that's a pretty beautiful course. So we get to go out there once in a while, but bounce around for the most part. Cherry Creek's the home track for sure.
What's your off topic, but what's your best concert you've seen at Red Rocks?
I went with Factor a few years ago. We saw Lana Del Rey, was real good. Seen some country ones there. Keith Urban. I brought my mom. She's a big Keith Urban fan. But Lana Del Rey was real good. It was real hazy in the sky that night at Red Rocks.
Hey, that's it. I mean, it's the sick prettiest venue. It's the prettiest venue situated in those rocks.
I'll tell you what, though, those fucking stairs will get you, Landy. I'll tell you what, I love Red Rocks, but those stairs will fucking get you, bud. And the altitude on it, it's like, holy fuck.
I'm sure it was just that.
You gotta walk up some.
Hey, Landy, I want to ask you, buddy, like, because when you came into Denver, you know, the crowds, you know, they were few and far between. Now I watch your games, obviously, pre-COVID. The building's rocking. I mean, it's got to feel pretty good for you when you came in at 18 years old to now where the team is. It used to be a Bronco city, and now the Colorado Avalanche are pumping in Denver. It's got to feel good pre-COVID when that barn was rocking.
Yeah, it really was. And it's been, like you said, it's been fun being a part of that journey and seeing the bad. It makes you appreciate the good that much more. And all of a sudden that you're kind of the talk of the town when you got a good team, which is super exciting for us. Cause we made the playoffs once, Patty Waugh's first year, but it wasn't really the same. So my first 5-6 years, it was, you know, you'd go anywhere. You'd never get recognized anywhere. It was all about the Broncos and whatever, but now it's definitely turned around and the buzz in the city has been a blast. So it really helps to have a good team. Obviously, once you put a winning product on the ice, people will come night in and night out. And the Denver fans, like, you know, Obi, Denver's a great sports city. They just want a team to cheer for and they want a good product on the ice. And once you do that, they'll show up. So it's been a blast.
Lenny, I wanted to ask you, like, you know, you touched on a little bit, you came, played in the OHL because you kind of wanted to play more of a North American-style game, but, like, a lot of Swedes, like Nyquist, Stahlberg, Hagelin, they all went the college route. Did you consider going to college at all, or was that kind of OHL was your only choice?
I did, but once I made my debut in the Swedish Elite League, I made some money and yeah. All of a sudden that takes your eligibility out of the way. But at the time,
right there.
When you're 16 and they're offering you, I don't know, $500 a game or whatever to go up with the men's team, you're like, oh, give me the money. I want to go play. But looking back, you know, the OHL had a great time. It was really good. I felt that it was a good step for me, my development, to get to play a lot of games. I know in college they don't play as much. So for me, I wanted to really learn and kind of figure out the way to play the game in North America at the same time. So, but looking back at it, I play with more and more college guys. They tell me more and more stories about their days in frat house, sorority houses. I don't know. If I was to do it again, maybe college would have been the point.
Hey, I'm with you on that, Lanny. I would have got kicked out, but totally. It sounds like a lot of fun.
Jimmy's our fucking college guy here. He's our college recruiter, Jimmy Scoops.
Back in school right now.
Always wondering why guys just didn't go to college. I don't know why. I probably wouldn't have made it out of there.
Crazy.
You would have been fucked.
All right, Landy. So besides the hotel, we're in Tahoe. The fucking place is beautiful. The rink, I'm sure practice today was a little bit, like, I played in one Winter Classic at Busch Stadium in St. Louis, which was beautiful. What was the feeling? Like, what are you guys talking about? Are you excited for tomorrow at noon? We're going to release this pod today, so we're kind of wanting a little bit, like, what's going on with the group? Like, you know, puck drop, you're wearing the C out there tomorrow, you're back in the lineup for your guys. Like, it's got to be an exciting time.
Yeah, it is. And you know what? At the same time, we're getting some guys back from COVID, and we're also getting some – we've been getting healthier and healthier with this little COVID break. So we got some guys back from injury. And sometimes when that happens, you guys know that guys have been grinding away with a depleted lineup, and then you get injected with some fresh guys, and sometimes you almost take a step back. So we want to avoid that tomorrow night. And we know how important these points are all year. I know that's a boring answer, but playing the Vegas Golden Knights, I mean, we're going to be fighting these guys all year. So these are certainly important points. And listen, I'm 0-2 in these outdoor games. And the two that we played, we're 0-2. Like, we'd like to get a win tomorrow.
Well, listen, I'm fucking taking you tomorrow. So get to that blue paint and fucking bang one in for me, would you? Hey, listen, I picked you guys to win the West. Hey, I picked you guys to win the West too, Landy. I love your squad. The thing that concerns me a little bit is last year, the return to play, you guys got banged up. And listen, I know injuries are part of the game, but staying healthy, not COVID, but staying healthy, is that something that you guys are concerned about? Because if you stay healthy, Landy, you got as good a chance as anyone.
Yeah, and we've talked about that. That was kind of a topic right at training camp is finding a way through that. and finding a way to stay durable and stay healthy as much as we can. And obviously with this year's schedule, it's pretty jammed up, but you're right. We got bit by the injury bug at a horrible time last year in the bubble. And this year, hopefully we're hitting it a little bit right now where we have the last few weeks. So hopefully we're getting out of it now rather than in the playoffs.
I just want to ask you one more thing. And listen, about McKinnon, you know, you play with him every day. I love this kid's game. He's my favorite player to watch. But for a guy like yourself to see him day in and day out, what is the most impressive thing for you? I'm sure there's a ton of lists, but can you give us one that just when you watch this guy, you're like, holy fuck.
I mean, watch this guy skate. He doesn't skate like a normal person straightforward. He skates just crossovers all the time. Same thing with McDavid. That's what they do. They just cross over. I try to do that in practice. I'm exhausted after three. I mean, it's just, but watching him, it looks so effortless. And for him, it's just, I guess, you know, he just learned how to skate that way. And it's super effective. You know, his mitts and his shot, I mean, everything is happening so fast. It's one thing to be skating fast, but to match that with your hands and your shot and the way he's like, you know, he'll skate through sticks, puck under sticks, under skates. He's got this, his brain is just working that much faster than everybody else's. And it's a blast to watch. And I'm just trying to keep up with him when I'm out there with him.
Hey, Landy, I don't know. I've never met him. He was at Warwick one night in the summer with Crosby and Webb's back a couple years ago. He was having a good time. But what's he like as a teammate? Is he fun at the rink? Is he all business? What's he like playing with him in the dressing room and stuff like that?
Yeah, he's a good dude. Nate's a really good dude. Super competitive, whether it's on the golf course or on the ice or in practice. Like he gets real feisty and real competitive, and I think that's what makes him special, to be honest with you. You know, he's pretty businesslike at the rink, but I think he holds guys accountable that way with the way he carries himself and how, you know, how competitive he is. It certainly rubs off on guys.
Awesome. I don't got much else, man. I'm super fucking excited to watch this game tomorrow. I think you guys got to be feeling juiced up.
Hey, Landy, real quick, I want to ask you about Joe Sakic. And Joe wasn't GM when I was there. Well, he was, and then he traded me. But how has he evolved as a general manager? He's made some nice moves for you guys. Just what does he bring as a general manager? How is it as a captain dealing with him?
He's great. You know, Joe is real good, easy to talk to. You know, very laid back. He's for the most part, we see him around the rink all the time. A lot of the time he's wearing golf gear and ready to go to the track right after, but he's, you know, Joe has showed in the past, obviously with, you know, some trades he's made with that Duchesne trade, that patience really paid off. And obviously we're looking at both Sam Girard, who's another defenseman, that's a blast, but Bo Byram came out of that trade as well. And so he's made some swift moves, that's for sure. And he's been a guy that I've been able to talk to as well with, you know, leave questions or just how to handle certain things.
Landy, thanks, buddy. We really appreciate it, man. Listen, I'm proud of you. When I met you at 18 years old, I knew you were going to turn into this fucking player that you are. I love my 2 years playing with you. You won the Calder, then you came back the next year. You didn't mix it quite as much, which I understand because you're the captain. But, hey, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. I got cash on you guys tomorrow, so get to that blue paint, fella. And, yeah, you're one of my favorite teammates. And thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
Yeah, you bet, guys. Appreciate it.
All right,
take care, guys.
See you, buddy.
Awesome, pal.
Updog.
Obes.
DraftKings, baby.
DraftKings.
Let's put a little fucking cheddar on this game.
Back at it.
You got a couple little fucking prop bets you got going there.
I would like to see, boys. I'm all about the prop bets, as you guys know. My Super Bowl thing. Right off the hop.
Gronk.
Right off the hop. Gronk. Oh, actually, it was over his shoulder. For a plus fucking 14 hundy, I threw $200 down. Quick 28 hundy. Anyways, boys, we got a big weekend here in Tahoe.
Yeah.
And DraftKings stepped up to the plate. Big partnership. Let's throw some odds boosters around. I want to odds boost a couple plays. We just had our boy Revo on. The guy likes to hit. The guy fucks.
Guy does fucks.
Anyway. I like to take Revo. I don't know what the line is, but I'm telling you, fans out there, you want to jump on this. Revo is going to be fired up after our conversation. If the line is three or four hits, take the over.
Revo over three or four hits.
Ryan Reeves over three or four hits.
Love it. All right.
Whatever it is, take the over.
You got another little juicy one written down there. What else you got down there?
Wow. Well, just because we also had on your boy.
Gabriel Landeskog.
I mean, I saw it in his eye. Did you see it in his eye?
Oh, did you see that fucking hair?
He's a good-looking cat, though,
God
isn't
damn,
he?
Goddamn, his hair is perfect. I'm jealous.
Speaks so well, too.
Yeah. Better English than us.
But so anyway, after listening to that, him talking about MacKinnon, MacKinnon's the most dynamic player in the league as a right-handed shot. I'm going to say Draisaitl, McDavid, lefties. They're, you know, Ovechkin, his time has passed for being that dynamic. Nathan MacKinnon, over 7 shots tomorrow.
Oh, he's wow.
He is
going to
be
firing
fucking
it.
Snapping.
That
it.
Would be big-time odds.
Fuck, let's go. Seven. Over 7. Over yeah. 7 shots on net.
What's a lot of shots for a forward in a game? 5? What's a lot?
Fuck,
what
five,
was your,
is,
oh,
5
would
is
be a
lot.
Great net.
What was your career high? Do you remember?
I think it was 6 was like my career high. Yeah, and that, and then you think like you're failing it that night.
Yeah.
Like you think you're big time. But like one prop that I like for tomorrow, and I think it's getting their captain back, Landeskog, score the first goal of the game.
Ooh,
first
did he?
Opening goal of the game.
With his helmet on or off?
It has to be on with the rules.
Yeah, you're not allowed. We're going to talk about that next week on the pod about the bucket thing when you have to go right to the bench. It's not National League. Prop bets, boys.
I like that, though.
Landeskog scores the first
let's,
one.
Let's get those game. Odds boosts on that, 100%.
I love that.
Ovi, what
a
do you
sneaky,
got?
And a sneaky play, though, is this Brandon Saad, too. He's got six goals.
He's having a good year.
6 goals in, like, 13 games. It's got to be over 2.5 shots. I'm hammering the over on that guy.
Brandon Saad.
I'm taking the Avalanche, so I'm going to say.
Yeah, I think he's got a nice little wrench on him.
Does he? All right, cool. I might take that bet.
I'm going to say our boy Bo Byram. He's going to score a goal tomorrow night. Can I do that? Is that a prop bet?
His first NHL goal.
His first NHL goal.
That should
tomorrow
be that.
Night.
Outdoor game.
Bo Byram.
That's a great
outdoor game.
I watched him this morning. I called A-Hall over. I said, listen, watch this kid skate. And he was snapping it out there. You were taking selfies. You missed it. But he was fucking snapping it. So Bo Byram scores his first NHL goal.
I love that. So tune in, fans. We'll be watching this. YouTube. We're here at
CSU. I'm taking the Avalanche, too, tomorrow on the game, boys. I'm telling you.
I'm torn right now.
I know.
I'm
we'll
torn.
Talk about it over some red wine and a nice steak tonight at dinner.
Flowers is buying.
You can have my glass.
we are at the Hard Rock, and tomorrow we'll be bringing you live action. Us beauties sitting around shooting the shit, talking about hockey, hopefully winning some cash.
Come on, baby.
DraftKings,
baby.
Let's go. And we hope you all tune in. We'll be giving you a promo code on our Instagram for DraftKings. And let's rock and roll, baby.